And you're listening to CKLN 88.1 FM. My name is Pedro Sanchez. The show is Saturday Morning Live. And joining me on the telephone is Maria Elena Repo. Hello, Maria Elena.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Thank you for joining us today.
Welcome.
I know that you just returned from Yugoslavia yesterday or the day before yesterday.
Yes. I came back on the 28th, evening of the 28th.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I know that you were one of many independent international observers, Canadian observers in Yugoslavia. First, Marilena, why don't you tell us about the group of people that you composed? I know that there are people from other countries. Tell us about who was all there.
Well, I damn if I know, because we, of course, I could only, you know, get a list of names and didn't meet them all, but we were all in the same place, in the same hotel. People from different countries, we were just kind of held back by language difficulties, because I certainly couldn't speak to the Russian delegation very much because they didn't speak English. And there were Latin American delegations from Nicaragua, Bolivia, Argentina. There was almost every Chile, and some difficulties communicating with them as well because they spoke Spanish. So, you know, we saw each other, and of course, the ones who had able to communicate with each other tended to cluster. And in my case, I could speak German and I could understand, English. So that was my group. And we got to know those people fairly well and tended to spend time with them and then occasionally meet in large groups or go to the polls with a larger group of people with different translators with us.
And I think it's important to point out, given the recent bombing, of course, campaign by NATO countries and Western European countries were involved in that, there were quite a number of observers from Western European countries. Is that correct?
Well, there were. And there, of course, with all the reports blasted it that there's nobody from Western Europe and Western countries, and it's just, friends of the government, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And there were people from European countries. There were people from Sweden, Ireland, England, France, Germany, Belgium, et cetera, various NATO countries. And these were the people who came there. There were members of various political organizations, left-wing, by and large. Mm-hmm. There were parliamentarians. There were ex-parliamentarians. There were a number of independents like myself who were invited because we have a track record of being objective about Yugoslavia. We haven't joined, the humanitarian bombing bombers. Mm-hmm. And we've written, there were a number of, three journalists. And some non-governmental organizations from India. Mm-hmm. And so there was a mixture of people. And we could not, of course, in that such a short time, get to know each other because we were running around. Fact finding and having meetings and having briefings, and in my case also going after the opposition, going to their campaign headquarters, meeting the deputy leader of the opposition, the Democratic Opposition of Serbia, and having a chance to put questions to them before the election, also after the election. So there was a whole range of activities, quite interesting and lively and cumbersome and difficult, and I swore that I'm going to learn 5 languages. So that when I go next time, I can speak to everybody, because that's really the biggest handicap. And if you have a good translator, you're going places. But if you have a translator who is struggling with the language, then you have an additional handicap. We happen to have a very good liaison person, the 2 Canadians who were there, myself and Professor Kichidis, Dimitri Kichidis from the University of Ottawa. Yes. He's an expert on the Balkans, on the Ottoman Empire is his specialty. He speaks French and Greek and English, so he could communicate fluently with all kinds of groups, with the Macedonians, with the Greeks. There was an American representative there.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that.
Part of the Gore's campaign. He's an American, Greek-American, who is strongly supportive of Yugoslavia and took the step to come there and be part of one of the observers. So, there was an interesting combination of people there. And then, we went together in various, sometimes busloads of us to one place. We, of course, saw the bombing, effects of the bombing. We went to Novi Sad. We went to saw around Belgrade. We went to briefing sessions. And then we would go in small groups, carloads of people to such and such a meeting, and all of us to the various rallies. Of course, we went to the opposition rallies and the president's party's rally. We got the flavor of that. Mm. And I wandered around Belgrade looking at posters because that's my particular beat. I'm interested in the whole history of, you know, what happened to us in this country. We weren't allowed to poster.
Sure.
You know, my experience came for the fight against the free trade agreement and how we were, my organization, you know, people were arrested across the country. Mm. Our posters were ripped down. Our tools were confiscated.
It's still difficult.
We had about six or seven major court cases on that, which we eventually all won.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that was my interest, to see whether they are posters and whether somebody goes and scrapes them off like they do in Canada, yeah, or whether they are there to be, you know, stripped off by the other parties and, you know, various things are done to them by the competing elements. And that was the case. There were posters from everybody. There were huge billboards from all the major, the candidates. And I saw people postering, encouraging others to go to vote. And then at the same time postering top of somebody else's message. So that was kind of messy and familiar in that sense. But I didn't see the city crews going after them like we have here about 5 minutes after we postered. Still they're coming after us in this city.
Still they
although
do,
legally
yes,
we have a right to poster.
That's right.
So that was something that was particularly of interest to me. Also watching watching the rallies and observing no particular problem. People gave out the information. They received it. Some of the meetings were more boring than others. Some were on the street and some were in buildings. And it was, you know, a whole range of activities. Again, didn't see anything untoward there. I was quite free to observe and hang around.
Tell me.
So that was the general kind of atmosphere for me. And of course, some of us, and I can only speak for the ones that I really communicated with, we were pesty. We were asked questions. We wanted to, you know, go here. We wanted to go there. And everything was accommodated, except sometimes it clashed with some other plans. So, you know, when we wanted to have a meeting with the opposition parties, particularly after we heard all the stories, of course, I heard it before I left Canada, that everything is rigged, that the Milosevic party has rigged the election. It is fraud, massive fraud. And so we wanted to discuss the nature of the fraud and what we should be looking at the polls. So I had a chance to go to a meeting like that with the Canadian delegate, Professor Kitsikis, and met with the deputy leader of the Democratic Opposition of Serbia, which is the Kostunica's party. And that was very illuminating.
What did he have to say?
Well, he was very interesting because we also raised, we raised two questions, the fairness of the riggedness of the election and also the American intervention in the election, because when just the day when I got there, Herald Tribune and Washington Post had front page articles about how much money the Americans and the so-called National Endowment for Democracy, which I renamed Endowment for Hypocrisy, has given to the opposition forces in Serbia, Yugoslavia, and they've given to the tune of acknowledged having given $77 million
mm-hmm.
to kind of change the outcome of the election and influence the politics and the future of Yugoslavia. So that came out just when we were there. And of course, then we read about the military exercises in Adriatic, naval exercises by the Croats and Americans in the yes. Adriatic Sea. And all kinds of, you know, there was an ominous atmosphere. So we raised the question about the American and the European Union's involvement in the election, and particularly the money. So that was very interesting because
he acknowledged
that Kostunica himself hasn't taken a penny and wouldn't, but the other people in the alliance did and have. And the independent media was financed by this money. The so-called independent media, I guess I should say, and he acknowledged that with some sadness and saying that, well, you know, we had to take this money because we don't have any. And that was quite a shocking acknowledgement, and quite open. He speaks English, so there was no chance of misunderstanding anything. And that kind of agitated our Professor Kitsikis, who had raised the issue of treason, you know, and kind of illegality. And then he ended up saying, well, it is more than treason. It seems like high treason. You know, that you're taking money from the enemy nation that just bombed you. So that became quite an uncomfortable moment there. But everything was revealed and acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
And my particular inquiry was about the fraud and where it could take place and what we should watch for, and got an acknowledgement that nothing could really go wrong at the polls because, as we knew and he knows, the opposition are actually part of the the polling, the structure of the people who are controlling the polling or watching, you know, they're there as full participants and in theory. And it seems in practice as well, because then they're also part of the counting of the polls, unlike in our country, the boxes are shipped out of the polling station, say. But there, they all stay behind. They count the ballots, and then they count who got what, and then they sign a kind of a dossier, a two-pager document, really detailed, you know, how many votes, how many spoiled ballots. And that goes to the headquarters, and the opposition candidates, all the candidates get their own sheet. So when they leave that polling station, they have the documentation already of how many votes. So nothing can, you should be able to change after that, because there's these four or five documents that different parties have gotten.
Marielena, tell me a little bit about what you saw there. You described a little bit before about visiting the sites that had been most affected by the bombing. How did you find it, the situation? What did you see?
Oh, I saw the buildings in downtown Belgrade. I saw the Chinese embassy is a total wreck. It hasn't been rebuilt. Was across the bridges in Novi Sad, they were all bombed. And so we saw the rebuilding of, it was just about to be finished before the following day. So we saw all that. And buildings damaged and windows out. There's a kind of carnage still. It's quite visible when you drive in downtown Belgrade. They haven't been able to fix these buildings, and the Chinese won't. They want a new building, and they, I guess, are not finished with law cases they have with the Americans and NATO. So they're not, it's there as a monument almost. And it's a horrid looking structure, you know, with windows out. And it's right in where people live. I mean, people are all around it.
And how are the people? What about them? How are they coping?
Living standard is extremely low. There's, you know, 10 years of sanctions. Wages have, you know, completely collapsed. Everybody has to pile up and live together because nobody can afford to leave home, young people. And just, it's a misery. It's misery in terms of the quality of life and access. There's access to kind of normal things. I noticed public transportation is like a third world situation where the buses are so crammed that I just about expected people to be climbing on top of the bus roofs. They're sardines in those very old and dirty and crowded, you know, sort of crowded buses. And so the life is very degraded, and, you know, it's nothing. It's even, you know, it comes to me, of course, in a situation like this, that the sanctions work so that I can't make a collect call from Belgrade to Canada. I can't even use my calling card because Canada is part of this international punishment of networks of punishment. So everything becomes cumbersome and difficult And just to everybody that I talked to, particularly the liaison people that could speak English very well and talked about their collapse of their living standard over the last 10 years and how much money they made 10 years ago, and it's like a pittance now.
Marielena, the press release that was released on Wednesday by the International Observers, September 26th, says that the International Observers all agree that there was a fair and a free election. Can you speak to that just briefly? We have to go to speak to Michel Chosudovsky very soon.
Well, I would say that it was a consensus agreement, a consensus statement, and of course not everybody could even see it by that time because some of the delegations have gone. But everybody who saw it, and it was like a, you know, random large sample, people agreed. They had it translated to, they had their translation done so they knew what was in it. And they stood around this draft document and kind of went over it. And we made it very minimal, so that people would have an agreement about that. What we had seen on the level of the polling was fair. We had access to opposition forces. That was fair. We saw these public meetings, and they were fair, because we didn't see anybody getting clobbered or arrested or the kind of things that happen in Canada, for instance, quite often, and have happened to myself. So we saw that we could agree on. So we owned it one pager. And so there's lots of other things people can say when they report in their own countries. And I'm doing a full report of every little nuance that I saw. And we are going to compare it to the Canadian system because we saw so many advantages there. And it compares well. The Western Europeans got together and really discussed it. And we had horror stories to tell about our own electoral systems from England to Germany to, you know, Ireland, Canada, and we felt that there were many features there that were much better, and we saw them in practice. including the interesting thing about counting the votes at the polling station, so that they can't, you know, you can't take these boxes and stuff them afterwards or beforehand because they're empty when they come in. So that's, so we saw, you know, pluses and normal kind of, you know, functioning. And then we, but you know, of course, we don't know the inner workings of the system and if there's some other areas where the rigging could take place, which is what the opposition suggested, but they couldn't give us the evidence of it or even the kind of concrete information what it could be, so we could make sense of it. At least I couldn't make sense of some of the things that they were saying that would be happening or could be happening. So we had to just wait and see, because there's now a discrepancy of numbers, big discrepancy, and I don't see how it's possible to carry that on because everybody has the same documents.
Maria Elena, I want to say thank you very much for being with us today.
You're welcome. We'll speak again. I hope it illuminated something.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay,
we'll
take
talk
care.
Very soon.
Bye-bye.
Maria Elena Repo has just returned from Belgrade. She was one of two Canadian independent observers there, her together with a professor at the University of Ottawa, Dr. Dimitri Kitsikis. When we return, we will be speaking with Professor Michel Chosudovsky in just a couple of minutes. This is a track entitled Coming War from a CD entitled simply Oso Matri.
Imagine this world with no oppression and no need to dabble in greed and transgression. The solution for murder and prostitution, never glorified as pollution on television, corrupt an entire nation. Explicit images never freeing Mumia regardless of proven innocence. Turning to crime and not using intelligence, what makes me wonder sometimes, are we in hell or inches away from confronting the powers that be? So in seconds what is taking some hours to see. Tips is hot enough to melt a bullion, more than a million people are ready for rebellion. This shit is ill, sunset till the crack of dawn. If you're back a blonde, Uncle Sam is robbing you blind and putting shackles on the minds of your children. For real, son, beware this system and go to war with this institution. Who peep to not see? Medical benefits should be cheap if not free, right? The richest people are those without morals, cause once they get inside, they tend to keep the door closed. Lord knows they're killing us quick and clean, from base heads to people addicted to nicotine. Man-made diseases where skin cells corrode, to ones where if infected you die from common colds. Economical woes, they pose the true threat, using your tax dollars to sell and produce debt. What's left? We got guns and drug trafficking, governmental we backing and blaming Latin and African brothers for dirty works done. The shit they do not only hurts young, but it's provoking revolutionary circum. Stance is slow like molasses. This is a message to the masses. Never ask kiss.